This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran. The stories that lead the show are GDPR insanity from the European Union. 50% of Americans do not trust Facebook. Delta is using biometrics. Is that where it's going to be hacked next? FCC attempts to protect American networks. Plus, all the news of the day. I want to welcome you to episode 1269 of Geek News Central for Monday, March 26th. The show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. Of course, support this show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/Insider. Be becoming a Geek News Central Insider or simply PayPal.me/GeekNews. You can pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Hey, want to give a very warm welcome to all the longtime listeners and viewers of the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for staying subscribed. If you're brand new to this podcast, if you're a brand new listener, I want to welcome you. I want you to take time and visit Geek News Central. We get connected with the show. That way you never miss a single episode of the podcast by just basically subscribing right there on the right-hand column of the website. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, on Android, via email, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, or just by the old school RSS feed. You can, of course, click more subscribe options. You have no idea what I'm talking about here when it comes to subscribing to the show. Of course, on the website, there's also a newsletter link. Get signed up for a newsletter. The newsletter contains everything that I'm going to cover during the show today. Will be delivered directly to your inbox immediately when the show is published. So that's a great way to stay connected with the show as well and be reminded that a new episode of this podcast comes out every Tuesday and Friday. I record it every Monday and Thursday night here in Honolulu, largely while the rest of the country is asleep. Just want to say hello to Travis, who just checked in on the live stream. Say, welcome to the show. Of course, if you want to watch us live and you're awake, live.geeknewscentral.com is the website. Of course, we're on YouTube, we're on Facebook. So really, that's the place to go. If you've got comments on today's show, you can email me here directly, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter @geeknews. And really, those are two great ways to connect with me via social media. Of course, we want you to consider joining our Slack channel. Geek News Central has its own private Slack channel where not only do the bloggers hang out, but also listeners as well. So feel free to send an email and ask for an invite, and I'll get you email address added to the Slack channel so that you can join in on the conversation. Of course, you can follow me on Google Plus or on Facebook. I'm on there on a daily basis. You can watch this show primarily on all the mobile devices on the planet, but you can also, again, you can listen on with mobile devices, but you can watch the show on the Roku via the Tech Podcast channel or via this show's video feed on the Apple TV. You can listen on really any smart home device, whether it be the Amazon device, Google Home, Cortana, HomePod. It's really about the same. You send the keyword to activate your device and you just tell it to play the Geek News Central podcast. You just use Geek News Central, and that usually is enough to trigger it.
Sorry, I can't help with that, but I'm always learning.
So, yes, a device is listening here. But, of course, I'm on Stitcher and Blueberry.com. Partner shows over here include No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff, the Gadget Professor, Mr. Don Bain, the pro gear site that is basically taken care of by my fantastic writing team. We've got the new media show and the podcast legend show. All those are available via direct link on the website at geeknewscentral.com. Follow along on then all those different podcasts. Chris Podcast Legends has not had an episode in a while. We'll see if we can get one in the can here in the near future. This show is sponsored, of course, largely, of course, by you folks as well, but it is also supported by our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. And GoDaddy's got deals really for you continuously. And all my promo codes remain in effect. We're wrapping down March, heading into April. So if you're thinking about jumping on board, picking up a product or service, whether it be a domain name, a hosting account, whether it's time to revamp your business account or launch a business account, or just want to pick up one of the products or services over at GoDaddy, I've got codes for you there galore, whether it be 30% off new product purchases and 99cent.com. A dollar a month economy hosting for the first year, including a free domain, or dollar a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year and a free domain. Again, 12 bucks gets you going on a hosting account. You can't beat it. And of course, a typical domain name when bought without a coupon code is $8.49 over at GoDaddy. So really, you can't go wrong with this deal. Of course, those of you that are business owners, 1 month free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal, business, or business plus plans. I'll be honest with you, I really love the two hosting plans. Those are by far, in my opinion, the best value to get started. And we want you definitely to use those codes. All those codes again are at geeknewscenter.com/GoDaddy. Check those codes out. Share them with your friends, family members, people that you know. Don't write them on the bathroom wall. But if you have a community bulletin board or something like that, I'd love for you to share my promo codes. So definitely check it out. And we definitely appreciate your input here. So Travis, this show for 1,269 episodes has always had 10 to 15 minutes of opening dialogue by me before we get into the content. That's how we roll here. And that's how the podcast has always been. It's been successful. We have a huge, huge, huge supporting audience. And that's the way this show is. And that's what the good thing about podcasting is, we can do as we please. We don't have to follow a radio format or anything like that. And that's how this show has developed over the years and what this audience has said that they wanted over time. But thank you. Thank you for your suggestion. I do appreciate it. Okay, so let me just go ahead and again, geeknewscenter.com/GoDaddy for the sponsorship link. Definitely thanks GoDaddy for being an ongoing sponsor here since June. Yes, the formula has worked since June of 2005. So we must be doing something right here. All right. So just give you guys a quick update on what's going around here before we get into the content. This past Saturday, Rob Greenlee and I put together a new media show. And of course, like we do every Saturday, that we're both at home. Rob overslept. So it's a short one. It's only an hour long. And then immediately following the new media show on Saturday, I worked with my team at Blueberry and we had an open house where we took questions and answers from our customers for about an hour. And that was a good turnout. We had lots of great questions. It talked about our products and services over there. And then, of course, I told you guys in the last show that I had some big meetings happening last Friday. And they were indeed big. And for now, I have to kind of keep you guys in the dark on who, what, and where. Well, the where was really on the phone. And, but the who is the important part. So that was, but again, it all started at 5 a.m. my time here in Honolulu on Friday. So, interesting things happening at this point. So, no complaints, everything's good and things are moving forward. Very successful meeting on Friday. So just to let you guys know, NAB is fast approaching and we've been working the everything that we say on the show here is public. So sorry, when comments come in, that goes out public. So that when it flashes up here, I can see it. So if you meant it to be private, my apologies. So just let you guys know, I released a second piece, the second in a thought piece on PowerPressPodcast.com that is basically discussing radio and specifically in regards to podcasting. So if you are interested in reading that second thought piece, it's available up on the website at powerpresspodcast.com. We sent that to about 900 press members this morning, and they've had a good, matter of fact, fantastic response rate from them. So we're starting to get the impact we wanted from those mailings. So I got two more that are in the pipeline that go out, the final 2 weeks here before NAB. But on a personal level, workouts have been fantastic. Had great ones Saturday, Sunday, and today. So and Friday as well. So I'm very, very pleased. Finally started to see a tip on the scale. Finally saw some movement. Not a lot, but a little bit. So, the march to 175 continues. I think about 14, maybe 13 and a half pounds to go. So we'll keep our fingers crossed. Another thing, too, is the weather finally turned nice here in Honolulu. It's been rainy, cold for Hawaii standards, but Sunday was the first truly nice day that we've had here in a couple of weeks. So when it's sunshining, gets the melatonin flowing, you definitely feel more positive. So definitely it was a great last couple of days here at yes, RSS is not old school. It is simply underrated. I agree. It is what powers the entire podcasting space. All right, I want to get into the stack here tonight. I want to talk, first things first, I want to talk about GDPR. I think I labeled it wrong in the title of the show. Forgive me, but this GDPR is something that's coming from the EU. It's affecting really anyone that has an online presence, and the hammer comes on the 25th of May. And we've got less than 2 months before the General Data Protection Regulations come into force. And literally, they say tens of thousands, but I'm contemplating hundreds of thousands of businesses are woefully underprepared, and many businesses outside of the EU do not realize that GDPR also applies to them. We're very much aware. I'm very much aware of GDPR because my dev team is buried in getting prepared for GDPR. And I'm going to be honest with you. The European Union, in their bid to protect the privacy of Europeans' data, implemented this draconian system. But the financial penalties of not complying are exceptionally steep. I mean, in the millions of euros. I think fines start at like 20 million euros per instance. So with that type of a situation, I'm kind of estimated we're doing a rough out of, what the total GDPR implementation is. Even for a small company like me, is probably a couple $100,000 to be ready to be GDPR compliant. And I'm a small company, and to really be 100% compliant without having risk on our side. And we deal with a lot of data, because we do measurement of podcast metrics. A little over 45,000 shows are using our metrics platform from all over the world, and a large number of customers out of the EU. And they're also concerned as well that we're ready and the companies that they work with are ready. But the implementation is nothing straightforward. I mean, it is, my legal bill and my dev bill and my headache bill just to make sure we are complying with this is, I have a couple of choice words for the EU, but because this is a family safe show, I really can't say nothing that a country implements should cost companies this much money to implement. And we're ahead of the curve. There are tens of thousands of companies outside the EU that are like, what? GDPR, what? What is that? What do I need to do? How do I comply? I have to do what to comply? And when you just read through the specific requirements that are put down by the European Union, and I'm reading this article over at Web Designer Depot, and they're talking about this is the second coming of greatness. They obviously are not running a business that has to pay to make sure we're ready to comply. And we are, you know, May 25th comes that we're good. And I have to laugh because there's a statement that says GDPR is an intelligently constructed set of regulations that makes everyone's data safer. Okay, it makes everyone's data safer, but it is not an intelligently constructed set of regulations. It is the most draconian thing that we've ever had to, we have to rework our entire system. What type of data is required to be protected? There's really two types here. Personal data, it's any data that relates to an identifiable person. Your name, your email address, your location, biometric data, online identifiers such as usernames, all qualify as personal data. Then there's another layer that's even more strict, and it's sensitive data. It's anything that the EU, again, the EU judges to be more private than a name. So, you know, this it's really not defined well, which can it can include your ethnic origin, religion, sexual preference, politics, any criminal history are all considered sensitive data. And sensitive data is even more protected under the GDPR, and the penalties for failing to protect it are much higher, beyond the 20 million euro fine. So what are users' rights under the GDPR? GDPR specifies basically eight rights. The right to be informed, the right to access, the right to corrections, the right to delete data, the right to limit processing, the right to data portability, the right to object, the right not to be the subject to automated decision-making. Data collectors like us still have a few rights. Basically, if you've subscribed to a newsletter and later you decide that you no longer wish to receive that newsletter and unsubscribe, now we must, without exception, permanently erase your user's email from our system. However, if when you subscribed, you recorded or we recorded the IP address to verify their consent, as we have to maintain compliance with email rules, you're entitled to retain that data to demonstrate your business GDPR compliance. And here's the insanity. It's not the EU's regulators' responsibility to prove your noncompliance. They do not have to catch you red-handed. It is your legal duty to prove that you are compliant. Even if you live outside of the EU, and failing to do so in itself is noncompliance. You have to write a privacy impact assessment for almost every case of data handling that you have. And that is a six-step process. Not cheap. Not cheap. Requires lawyers to be involved. You have to have a data protection officer. In the end, GDPR is all about consent. Can you tell I'm a little upset about this thing? It's draconian. It is over the top insane on the amount of requirements that have to be implemented to comply. You may not have an EU1 customer in the planet, but if they come to your website, you can get a $20 million fine for not being GDPR compliant. There is just an incredible amount of stuff. There's 10 steps for just for web designers to follow on information that you can collect. And it is just, I mean, over the top on what is happening here. And in I find it ironic that this website saying GDPR is long overdue, a set of best practices for privacy in business and particularly on the web. So I'm looking at what I have to implement with, and I have a complete opt-in system. People come to my company, they buy services, they provide all their information, they input this data into our system to utilize our services. But yet, if I have a data breach and that data gets out, $20 million fine. If it's not, if I don't mask IPs on data logs, $20 million fine per instance. We can still collect most of the data we have, but it's anonymizing huge, huge, huge amounts of information. And of course, with what's going on in the world today with Facebook and all this other stuff, many people are cheering. But the cost for me as a small business owner to implement this stuff is, I don't know how companies, there's companies aren't going to be able to do it. They're not going to be able to write that check to hire the lawyers, to have all this stuff done, have their code changed, have it audited, to put the fixes in place that they request. Companies will go bankrupt implementing this. So I am sure that this is a tax center for the European Union, and they're looking forward to dropping the hammer on companies outside of the EU. Oh, not only that, I have to hire someone in a European Union country to kind of be like my data broker. Like it's kind of a weird thing. It's ridiculous. And we've been talking about this within my company for a while. And when we're starting to do the assessments and figure out what we have to do to truly be compliant, literally my brain exploded. And so I see this post today. And for users out there, this is a, you know, for you guys that are end users, this is fantastic for you. I'm not saying that what's being implemented here is, you know, it is for you. The privacy stuff is huge. But the overall cost, and we got European Union companies, they're calling us. We're doing 2-3 calls a week with clients that are freaking out is the understatement. They are freaking out because everyone that they do business with, they have to make sure that they are GDPR compliant. If not, they're culpable. So if a company uses another service and that company's not GDPR compliant, they can get a fine too. It's not fun. And in here, and I'm normally just reporting on this stuff, but I'm sitting through meetings that we're going through step by step by step by step. I'm not kidding. $200,000 is going to be the cost for my company to become, we hope and pray, to be GDPR compliant and follow their rules. because we handle a lot of data. And that's a couple less employees we can hire. It's insane. It truly is. Google sent out an email a couple days ago that was like 5 pages long that talks about everything that they're doing to become compliant. And it just made my head swim. I honestly just couldn't read it all. And you're just going to hear a lot more about this as we approach the date. But I just want to share with you, if you have a digital business out there, if you have an online presence, better get busy. So you have a single European Union customer. You have someone that's from the EU that comes to your website a single time in a year or 5 years, and you're not ready. Stand by. Yeah, can you tell I'm irritated? I'm irritating. Irritated. Oh, you know, usually we just talk about this stuff here. You know, it's just like we can hypothesize. This is like, I'm looking at my checkbook balance, ching, 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 you know, as I, you know, write the checks to, you know, pay the lawyers and everything else that goes along with this. It's insane. It really, really is. My poor CFO, he just like, you know, and we have a 2-word saying that has become very predominant, and it's not a positive saying about the EU. I know I got a lot of EU listeners out there, but what are you guys hearing? What, you know, is your company ready in the EU? Are you guys ready? What do you think about this whole implementation? I really would love to hear from you. I really would. Geeknews@gmail.com. Now, speaking of trust, over half of Americans don't trust Facebook. Say it isn't so. You know, they Facebook put out this big full page ad, and most newspapers people no longer read anymore. And apologized. But Reuters found that 41% of Americans trust Facebook to obey laws that protect their personal information, which by extension means that 59% of Americans think Facebook is capable of flouting their laws. Do you think so? How do they stay in business? They're data brokers. Come on. They're in the data business. We've talked about this already many times on this show. And it cracks me up. Like really? Where's the fake outrage? You didn't think they were selling, you know, you are the product. When you don't have to pay for anything, you are the product. And yes, you are always the product. And if you're getting something for free, then you yourself are the product. You know, corporations are not known for being charities. You know, corporations are known for making investors happy and having a bottom line that is in the black instead of in the red. Oh, man. Just how come we've come so far and being so I know this audience is not this way, but how can people have truly been so naive, you know, to think that their data wasn't being shared and sold and, you know, cross-shared and all kinds of stuff. You know, let's be real. Now, Delta Airlines is going to start using your fingerprint scanner, fingerprint for Sky Club admission, checking into flights, all kinds of stuff. So you're just going to walk up and put your fingerprint down and it's going to read your biometrics and going to, you know, your data screen's going to fill with all your information. And then when Delta gets hacked, your biometric data will be on the dark web. So starting Monday, Delta Sky Club members who are U.S. citizens or permanent residents will be able to sign up to use their fingerprints to enter all 50 of the airline's U.S. Sky Club airport lounges. And the Delta Biometrics program is powered by CLEAR, the biometric scanning platform, which has been testing at Reagan National Airport. And I've went through Reagan and scanned at TSA. Haven't had to show my boarding pass, just scan. And somehow they knew me. How is that? All right. So I go, and of course, I'm prior military, and, you know, my fingerprint records are, and DNA has all been collected by Uncle Sugar, right? That's my stuff is out in the cloud somewhere, hopefully in some secure space. Good luck with that with government stuff. But so I've walked up to the gate, you know, and put my finger down, and oh, the guy says, you're good. No need to show the boarding pass. I think I still had to show my ID, but I'm like, all right, they just collected it or they already knew. You know, we've been using our fingerprint to unlock our phones and enter workspaces. And, you know, we have the option to use biometrics as a form of identity. But, you know, this is the last frontier. This is probably the one thing that we truly have, our fingerprint, that separates us from person to person. But what happens when technology is implemented and this biometric data is lifted from a glass at a restaurant? Don't have to lift your credit card anymore. Just, you know, grab the glass you use at the restaurant and go in and pull your print from the glass, and then, you know, sell that to some database somewhere. And then next thing you know, you're checking in for a flight in New York City, and you're not in New York City, but someone has made some technology to use your finger. So it makes you wonder, doesn't it? Everything else has been hacked at this point. And, you know, this has been going on a little bit here. We, 2 years ago, London's Gatwick Airport ran a trial in which 3,000 British Airways passengers scanned their irises when checking in. And Scandinavian carrier SAS now scans passengers' fingerprints when they check their bags and use those prints to let them board. So, yep, it won't be long before we'll have to give a blood sample for DNA analysis. Right, switching up topics here a little bit, something that's probably, you know, the FCC's been under a lot of fire. You either like what the FCC has been doing or you hate what the FCC's been doing. There's not too much in between here. But I will say this, I will agree with something they're looking at. And for me to agree with some of the stuff coming out of the FCC recently is pretty remarkable. So the chairman said Monday he was proposing new rules to ban the use of funds from a government program to purchase equipment or services from companies that pose a security threat to the U.S. communication networks. His statement did not disclose which companies or countries prompted the proposal, but we've talked about this many times on this show, that we know that there have been and reportedly been hidden back doors in routers, switches, and stuff from communication providers that are out of China. We know that there's been concerns about Huawei and the Chinese smartphone maker. Not only that, we've got other companies that, you know, products coming out of China. But the proposal would bar the spending of funds from the $8.5 million FCC Universal Service Fund on companies or countries described as posing a national security threat. U.S. Telecom and Industry Trade Group representing companies including Verizon, Oracle, CenturyLink said its members will continue working with the FCC and other agencies to address supply chain vulnerability issues. Here's the problem, and we've talked about this many, many times on the show. America doesn't make a lot of chips anymore. Most of our chips come out of China. chips can have stuff embedded in them. Chips could have onboard code, could have onboard flash, could have onboard programs, could be used to intercept and allow the disruption of communications, spying on corporations, interception of data, simply because it's on a chip. I think the risk in some instances is low, but I think in some instances the risk sounds to be pretty high. Huawei and ZTE Corporation are widely understood to have extraordinary ties to the Chinese government. In 2012, Huawei and ZTE were the subject of a U.S. investigation into whether their equipment provided an opportunity for foreign espionage and threatened critical U.S. infrastructure, something they have consistently denied. We know Congress, for some reason, in 2017, banned U.S. government agencies from using security software from Moscow-based Kaspersky Labs. It came amid a mounting concern among U.S. officials that the software could enable Russian espionage and threaten national security. So, Travis, I don't have time to read all the comments in chat. Sorry. This is more, I look at chat when I can, but the GDPR is a real deal. And if you're not, if you're a digital company in the United States and you're not compliant, stand by. Read up on GDPR. Get educated on it yourself. Please, please go research what GDPR requirements are for companies that have a digital business. I have. I know what the requirements are. I know what the cost to implement it is. It's massive. I'm living it right now with my entire dev team focused on being GDPR compliant. Every hour, every day is salary dollars that are being used to become compliant with an EU law. As a U.S. company, I have to comply with. Please go read up on GDPR and see what's required for U.S.-based companies that have European Union customers or visitors to their website. It's significant. But anyway, going back to the FCC, the security risk in these devices coming out of these countries, I believe is a true threat. Absolutely true threat. Apple, tomorrow, is going to be holding its first media event of the year. And it promised to be unique in many ways. The rumored star of the show is expected to be a new kind of Apple product, an even cheaper iPad that's going to target students in schools. Apparently, it's targeted to compete with Google Chromebooks. And the rumor on the street is a $249 price point. So, or maybe $259 is what the price will be for this new offering. So tomorrow's, they're not live streaming the event. So there will be news about it. I'm sure lots of press releases. But again, Apple's main education site has 17 devices pictured. 60 of them are iPads. Only a single one is an aging MacBook Air. So we'll see. We'll see what happens here. A cheaper iPad alone won't be enough to turn Apple's education woes around. But it may help. So we'll see what is forthcoming from that. Also, this week, NASA is testing a supersonic Mars parachute. You can watch it live on Thursday. They're going to have a launch out of Wallops Island. And if all goes according to plan, a 58-tall Terrier Black Brant 9 rocket will loft the Aspire parachute to a maximum altitude of 32 miles. This is where conditions in Earth's atmosphere mimic those of a thin air of Mars, and they will unfurl the parachute. This is the second test that they're doing of this. And really what this is this a prep? This is a test to make sure this parachute works for the 2021 new rover that's going to be heading to Mars. And I don't know if this is going to be the final test, but I think this is a big decision point. And hopefully everything goes well. We'll keep an eye on it. As online privacy deteriorates, what is the future of VPNs? You know, VPNs were really never designed to be ways to hide your personal data and be private. It was more of a way to work your way around being able to watch Netflix if you were outside the United States. You know, VPNs also have a feature for businesses where you log into the VPN so you can log into the corporate network. And, but, you know, VPNs are not heavily adopted for mobile yet. And because everything's moving to mobile for a VPN to survive, there's going to be needs to be some adoption. And the mobile business is a little bit different business than putting a VPN client on your desktop. So we'll see what happens here. You know, the increased usage of bring your own devices policies within companies are requiring some expansion of VPNs. And at some point, the VPNs are going to have to start offering network access control features as well. So we'll see. We'll see where this goes. But I know many of you still use VPNs on your computers or use the VPN client on your mobile device. If so, I'd love to hear it. All right, I'm going to move this article to the end. We'll come back to that later. How many of you carrying backpacks? How many of you have back pain from your backpack? Well, there's a new backpack out, and well, it's a Kickstarter. And it's called Super Straps. And I watched the video of this, about a 4-minute video. They don't go deep on details, but everything that they're talking about here and the reviews are very, very positive. And what this does, the super straps attach to existing straps for your backpack. And then what it does is it, through a pull of a string on the side of the super strap, it changes the positioning and weight distribution of your backpack. And people that are using it are saying that it's a major improvement. And what it does is it lifts some of the weight off your shoulders and better balancing things so you can walk upright. And anyone that's carried a heavy backpack can know that, man, by the end of the afternoon or day, your shoulder and your neck and everything hurts. So, you know, when we're going to events like CES and NAB, we're always humping backpacks. I wish I had this now. Super straps are going to retail for $75, but the Kickstarter, you can snag your own pair for $49 or two sets for $89. So I don't know when they're going to, well, they're going to ship by October of 18, but I don't normally back, and I've backed a couple of Indiegogos this year, mostly around hardware. So this one is more for, you know, what we're for carrying our hardware. So I'm very, very interested in this, and I'll probably back it based upon the video that I saw. Anyway, I'll have the link up in the show notes. You can check it out. If you're a backpack carrier, you're going to look at this. For $49, I think it's worth the risk. Of course, Facebook, of course, is, sorry, this is skipped around today. I should have had this one earlier, but Facebook's terrible, horrible, no good, very bad week has continued, though. And the social networks took some heat for their phone contacts that are being exported. People are requesting their data. And when they downloaded it, it showed every phone call, every text message that you had made since allowing Facebook to start collecting this information. So you can remove your contacts. And I remember being annoyed at Facebook a couple of years ago when it basically, I clicked okay on something and all my contacts got sucked in. And it really, at the time, it kind of torqued me. And I went in and I found this link before to remove all contacts. And it basically pulled my phone book contact list out of Facebook and deleted that information. But I need to go now and check some of this information out that they're talking about as well. So there is a way to delete your phone contacts from Facebook. So I have the link in the show notes on how to basically give you the instructions on how to do that. it's just, they just, it, again, they're in the data collection. And we've all been susceptible in giving them everything they want, and we're the product. So your host is basically in the same situation as the rest of you are. Of course, when I was at CES, we did not leave the tech startup area. The Geek News Central team, we had our live broadcast booth in the Sands. We did not go to North, South, Central. This is the first year in many, many years I did not walk the rest of the show floor. And I think based on our coverage success so far, the 200 or so interviews that we did from Sands is working out very well, from contacts. And, you know, the things that I wanted to accomplish with that coverage is being accomplished, and it will continue to do so for the next couple of months as we talk with the companies that we talk to and basically develop those relationships, develop sponsorship packages, the whole nine yards. But one thing I didn't miss that I would have liked to seen, but I didn't even know about it until Kirk found the article today, was something from was called Micro LED. It's the first new screen tech in a long time, and some are saying it may beat out OLED. Now, I've always told you guys that OLED is, you know, if you get an OLED screen, it's the most remarkable TV you could possibly have. The images are more real than life. But Samsung wowed the crowds with this wall-sized TV. It was a 146-inch gigantic micro LED TV. Not available for resale yet. It's still a couple years away. But they use millions of micro LEDs, tinier versions of what your current LCD TV, as well as newer flashlights, light bulbs, and a myriad of other devices they use to create light use. They're just absolutely tiny. And it's hard to implement, hard to make, hard to get the right pitch. You know, everything is... you know, when you're getting this small, when you have clusters of these micro LEDs, typically hundreds of LEDs in a, for in an example, an inch by inch area of a screen, they're talking about these LEDs are 0.15 millimeter. That's how small they are. If you think about that, just it's tiny. But Samsung is claiming that These micro LEDs have a higher luminancy efficiency. The TV will have around 2000 lumens. It'll be bright. But again, a couple of years maybe before we see any of these are on the market. But sounds exciting. I can't wait to see one. And if any of you were at CES and got to see the micro LED screen, I'd love to hear from you as well. But a link will be up in the show notes on it. You can watch the video, which never does it justice, from the CNET team. If you have someone in your family that is non-technologically inclined and, you know, have maybe made the jump to an Apple device and is using iOS, there's a number of terms they probably need to become familiar with, become, you know, viable users, iCloud, Siri, talk about Apple Pay, personal hotspots, those kinds of things. So there's a little article on 20 key terms that you should know if you use an Apple product. Space.com's reporting, does it matter that NASA still doesn't have a permanent leader? Of course, Congress can't seem to get the president's nominees approved. That's part of the issue. But earlier this week, NASA's acting administrator, Robert Lightfoot, announced that he will retire from NASA on April 30th. If no permanent NASA chief is appointed before then, the associate administrator Steve, oh my God, I can't even pronounce this guy's last name, Jerzak, will take the reins. His current position would normally make him third in line, but NASA has no deputy administrator at the moment. This vacuum of permanent leadership is probably hamstringing the space agency a little bit. But, you know, Congress is having a little bit of trouble with the nominee, which I guess is a representative that the president has nominated. But it's too bad that these appointees can't be processed here in a timely manner. But NASA leadership, yeah, can, how about that? You show up to work one day, you're number three at NASA, and then you become number one. I guess that's the way to get promoted, right? People just quit and you move up. Silicon Valley season 5. Any of you watch the HBO Silicon Valley series? I have to admit, I watched the first 2 episodes in season 1 and said, I'm not watching this garbage anymore. But the season 5's opening credit includes a, yes, you named it, Facebook Easter egg. Link up in the show notes for you to check it out. Hey, little car news. Yeah, you know, I love Continental, the brand Lincoln Continental. I don't have a Lincoln. Probably can't afford a Lincoln. But if those of you that like Lincoln as a brand are thinking about purchasing one, the brand's been lagging a little bit, but Lincoln may add suicide doors to future Continentals. And, you know, suicide doors are, as you would expect, they open opposite of what you would expect them to. And there's no word on timing or other details about the suicide door. But, you know, they only sold 1,500 units of the Continental last year. So, you know, it's a flagship product that is not selling a lot of vehicles. I don't even know how much one of those costs these days. But, you know, Lincoln Continental was always, when I was growing up, you knew you were the big dog on the block when you had one of those cars. And I probably as much so these days. Bentley, of course, there's another big name in luxury automobiles. They're the latest luxury car maker to committing to electric vehicles. So again, just a few weeks after Bentley unveiled its first all-electric concept convertible, a lead designer confirmed the company, known for its gas-guzzling vehicles, could start making electric cars fairly soon. Bentley is just the latest in a long line of car makers planning to go electric, of course, with Toyota, Volvo, Porsche, Audi, and of course, Tesla leading the pack, are all in the race to supply the electric car of the future. Actually, the Nissan Leaf, I think, is leading the future. Spotify is telling Wall Street it's going to have a very good year. Ahead of its IPO, the streaming service offering its first ever guidance. Revenue, subs, and margins will be up. Operating losses will go down. Spotify thinks it went 2018 with as many as 96 million paid subscribers, up from 71 million. Spotify thinks its revenue could hit $6.6 billion, up 30%. And crucially, Spotify thinks gross margins could get to 25%, up from 21%. And of course, this is the core of the Spotify pitch to investors. As it gets bigger, it can improve its leverage with a big music label so it can get better terms. And Spotify thinks operating losses will shrink from $500 million to $409 million. That's amazing that they can they can just lose money like that. But as much as $50 million of those losses will be a one-time charge generated by the costs associated with the IPO. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with Spotify. A suspect has been arrested for cyber bank heist that amassed $1.2 billion. We've talked about this group for a while. Europool announced today that the suspected leader of an international bank heist scheme has been arrested. So if you remember, these folks were hacking ATM machines, they were doing bank transfers, all kinds of crazy stuff. And they, $1.2 billion U.S. dollars is what they schemed in really the past 5 years here. It started out with malware into banks and a whole bunch of stuff. But they had a huge collaborative effort between a bunch of law enforcement agencies and rolled this guy up in Spain today. So good job on that. Hey, Jack, you're going to love this one. So what is a pilot's job? His eyes are supposed to be out the window and checking the instruments, right? There's a ratio there that airline pilots are supposed to maintain. I think it's a If I remember, what is 75, 25, 75% your eyeballs outside, looking outside the aircraft, and 25% checking stuff in. Well, these two jokers, I guess they felt it would be better to do some Snapchats while they were flying. So two EasyJet pilots snapped up and put some pictures on Snapchat that you're not going to believe. What grown man puts a Snapchat with some little ears and a mask? This is the most ridiculous thing. I think I'm looking at this thinking, you have got to be kidding me. So they were doing selfie snaps while they were airborne. And they were using various filters. There was even a video in which the captain included a poll to see if his followers wanted more. All this happened at 30,000 feet on a flight from Paris to Madrid. Yes, they have been suspended, as one would expect. Stupid is as stupid does. Really? There's always banter in the flight station. You know, having done almost 10,000 hours in P3s, the pilot, the co-pilot, the flight engineer, all having banter back and forth, but they're always doing their job. You know, they're not taking selfies. Oh my God. Unbelievable. They added that the videos were filmed when the aircraft wasn't performing any maneuvers. Of course, it was on autopilot, but you're still supposed to look out the window. You're not. Wow. All right, so a little bit more information on Cambridge Analytica. They are now being accused of violating U.S. election laws. And we know that there's a whole bunch of rules. It's basically bars non-U.S. citizens from participating in the strategies of U.S. political campaigns. Now, they can provide data. Companies outside of the United States can legally provide data to campaigns, but they're not allowed to analyze that data. And they were warned. The company, they basically knew they weren't supposed to be analyzing data. And looks like maybe they did. So we'll see, both for the 2014 and the 2016 election. Of course, as I said earlier, Facebook ads apologize for the scandal. Big full page ad. And but anyway, that, you know, they're in damage control mode here. And of course, we talked about earlier, but Facebook harvested detailed call and SMS logs for years. And it got right down to the point where outgoing type, outgoing call, date, time, duration, and who. And not only that, but the incoming and text messages as well. So all this is in the show notes tonight for your reading pleasure. That said, Senate committee has asked Facebook, Google, and Twitter to testify on privacy. The Judiciary Committee invited all three CEOs to visit April 10th. So I'm sure that C-SPAN will have this on, and it should be good, interesting watching. For sure. I don't think it's going to be closed, so it'll be good time to watch. Of course, Apple's Tim Cook breaks his silence on the Facebook scandal and says that stricter regulations are needed. Now, for a CEO to say that? Wow, it's pretty big. You don't wish regulation upon yourself at any time. He said, Tim Cook said, I think that this certain situation is so dire and has become so large that probably some well-crafted regulation is necessary. The ability of anyone to know what you've been browsing about for years, who your contacts are, who their contacts are, things you like and dislike, and every intimate detail of your life, from my own point of view, shouldn't exist. I've said, we've been... Tim. Been telling this audience for years that Google, Facebook, Twitter, all these sites know us better than our spouses. This is not news to the Geek News Central family here. Again, anyone, hard to believe people are that naive to think that this hasn't been happening. Twitter is reporting it will ban cryptocurrency ads. They're the next one to come down in cryptocurrency. There is this definite dislike for cryptocurrency. You can tell it's making an impact when people are trying to ban it. Malaysia's proposed a law that would make spreading fake news illegal. Those in violation would face up to 10 years in prison and a fine. Huh. So they're criminalizing the spread of fake news. I guess you're even going to have to be careful in repeating something you heard. How do you know if something's fake or real these days? How is it possible? They're saying fake news includes any news, information, data, reports, which are wholly or partly false, whether in the forms of features, visuals, or audio recordings, or any other capable of suggesting words or ideas. All right, how is the general public yet to know? Is the government says it's false? Is it false? Let's think about that for a second here. If the government says it's false, do we trust them to make that determination? In Malaysia? I don't know about that. How about in Iran? If Iran says that news is fake, how about in Russia? They say that news is fake. More than likely, it's true. Scary times. Scary, scary, scary times. You know, they want to go to Mars. A little Wired article here that's a pretty good read. And it says, NASA can't send humans to Mars unless it gets the food right. I guess there is a fascination, or AKA love, of tortillas. And they're talking about not getting enough tortillas at the International Space Station. It just goes into the crux of, armies march on their stomach and so forth. But same thing, if you're up in space and you're in this, hostile environment, food is about your only pleasure. So I know for us, when we were deployed in 76 days of no phone, TV, or anything, that chow was a nice distraction to chit chat and share stories and talk about rumors. When you're in space, there's different types of conversations, but they say that they got a long ways to go to be able to have food that'll stay good for a 5-year Mars mission. There's a vulnerability in the iOS camera QR code reader. Could direct users to malicious websites. So if you're scanning QR codes, just be aware. Understanding that you just don't want to, you want to scan QR codes from trusted sources. Don't be scanning stuff you just find on the street. You may end up on a vicious website. Also, Apple iOS 11.3 software update may land tomorrow. So we'll see if that gets punched out at the same time that they're doing this event. And again, Apple will not be live streaming its event tomorrow as well. Just have to see what the press says. But also some news coming out is Apple's original video content is expected to launch in March of 2019. Samsung's going to finally roll Android 8.0 Oreo update for unlocked Galaxy S8 and Galaxy Note 8 users. So you guys are finally, after all this time, going to get a bounce. Again, this is for unlocked devices. You'll get this update. So finally, you're going to get a bounce here. Last couple of articles. Nissan is using recycled Leaf batteries to power streetlights. Oh, that's cool. And so it says Nissan is using old Leaf batteries in a very meta way to power streetlights that make roads safer for vehicles and pedestrians, called the Light Reborn. It uses a solar panel that charges up the battery, which can then power the LED at night with no external connection required. Nissan is testing their product today in Inami, Japan, a city that was abandoned after the Fukushima nuclear disaster, and options to do a full-scale installation in the town later this year. So a Leaf battery will run a lot of lights, but they're also going to be looking at other places to use the batteries. May not be good for car, but definitely good enough for a street light. Waymo CEO claims that their self-driving tech would have avoided the Uber accident resulted in the fatality. So talk is cheap there, Waymo. Talk is cheap if you're not the one suffering the consequences of that type of an accident. Ford vending machines begin dispensing cars in China. The Super Test Drive Center in Zhengzhou is now open for business. It looks kind of cool. If this picture is right, they've got 24 cars in this in this lot. So it doesn't look too radical. Oh, 42 cars, which has kept, I wonder how this all works. You just walk up there and like pay for it on a vending machine. Makes you just kind of scratch your head a little bit. I guess there'd probably be a salesman and so forth. The stunt is limited time deal and will now run between now and April 23rd. So this is not something that's permanent, but they're calling it a stunt, and a stunt I think it is. There's a good review on makeusub.com about a Windows-based product called VideoPad. It's a video editor, so if you're looking for a video editor for, you know, to take care of some family videos and so forth, this might be an option for you. Link will be up in the show notes. Also, you guys know I'm a big product of Anker products. So there's an Anker USB-C charger sale going on right now. All these are available via Amazon. I'll have the link up to the article in the show notes. So you can, if it's time to make that jump and have some USB-C chargers laying around, you can grab one of these from the folks at Anker. Also, in another series from Lifehacker, talking about USB issues, if you've got a USB device that always seems to reboot your computer when you plug it in, I've got a solution for you here and some troubleshooting tips. Link will be up in the show notes. And finally, there's some good deals out there. You can stretch your Wi-Fi to the limits with a $24 range extender from Netgear. I've had mixed results with range extenders. Had one for a while that worked really, really well until it quit. But for $25, pretty good deal. They got a little $5 coupon off from the original. It's $24, so it was originally $29. You get the $5 coupon by clicking on the link in the show notes. And finally tonight, I know we've got a bunch of the Ohana that are joining me, that are working out, losing weight. We've got a number of folks that are emailing me and talking about your progress. If you're like me, you get back from the gym and you strip your clothes off and throw it in the hamper. Well, after about a week, that hamper gets pretty ripe. So for those of us that haven't really been exercising too much over the past number of years, there's some adult tips on how to keep your workout clothes from stinking up your house and your laundry basket and everything else. So link will be up in the show notes, because I know my wife was giving me an earful on Sunday when I pulled everything out of the hamper to send it to the wash. I got some dirty looks, dirty comments, and some prime commentary. So Kirk, I don't know how you did it. We're on the same wavelength, but good timing, my friend. Okay. Bada bing, bada boom. I got an email from Ken. He said, hey, Todd, this is one I think you should have mentioned. It's a major step forward for people who use credit cards for reoccurring transactions. And I was supposed to read this at the beginning of the show. So let's see what Ken's article is about. Capital One's shopping assistant, Eno, can now dial out viral card numbers in the browser. Oh, that's smart. So Capital One's officially introduced a new way to use its virtual card numbers from a web browser. In order to make shopping online safer, virtual card numbers, of course, aren't new. Bank of America and Citi have offered a similar feature that creates temporary credit card numbers linked to your real account for the purpose of online shopping. But Capital One implementation of the feature will be handy for its card holders. So if you are a Capital One credit card holder, this link will be on the show notes, will be helpful to you in... Oh, I closed that. Let me reopen that. I'm going to have to add that to the... So anyway, thanks for that, Ken. I definitely appreciate the link being submitted. And also, yes, Jerry, I know. He says, forgive me for nitpicking, but a person with your technical background should not be making this mistake. A logarithm. I just remind myself, there's no logarithm in a logarithm. It's just faster to say logarithm instead of a logarithm. When this show, when I'm going at 90 miles an hour, it's easy to trip up. Just put that up as a Toddism. So I do appreciate the chat room. Rita, thanks for being here tonight. Travis, welcome to the show. This is how the style is. I couldn't read all your comments as you were sending them. So thanks for keeping me jumping here. I definitely appreciate it. And I hope you're subscribed to the show. Feel free to send me a comment, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. For those of you that don't know, so when I'm doing the show live, everything I'm going to talk about straight in front of me. Okay. To the right, I monitor the video recording that's going on. On the far left, I can monitor the audio recording. On the left, a little bit forward of me, is the TriCaster, where I can switch in and switch out the different video views and so forth. But down to the left at the bottom is where the chat rooms are, and it's not easy to take a glance, read it, keep the flow of the show going. I try to quickly glance at stuff and get feedback during when I'm live, but that's what happens here when it's a one-man show. There's really no place on the desktop for me to drop those comments, so it kind of shows as a thread. It's not that easy. So just to let everybody know, that's kind of how the setup goes here. And so if there's people are pinging me in the chat room, oftentimes I'll miss it, especially since I can only see 1, 2, 3, 4 of the last comments. If it rolls off the screen, it won't be visible to me until I hit stop tonight and it's saved, and I can go back and read all the comments, which I'll usually address via replies on the website, on Facebook and YouTube as well. So anyway, that's kind of just a little by the way thing. So anyway, we're late here. Let's get out of here. Please support the sponsor, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Use my promo codes. Use them often. Share them with your friends, family members, people you know. If you're not an insider, think about becoming an insider and supporting the show at $2, $5, $10, $15, or $25 a month plans. Please do your own accounting when you hit certain levels so we can make sure you get your prize. And of course, I want to thank all the insiders that continue to contribute to the show to help me produce and pay for the production costs and everything that goes on here. And of course, thank to my sponsor, GoDaddy, for helping us keep the lights on, family fed, car insured, and all that. So this will wrap it for our show. We'll be back with you on Thursday. Thanks for being here. We'll see everyone next time. Everyone take care. Aloha.